open up your Bible with me tonight to John's Gospel, chapter number one. John, chapter number one.
Amen.
We'll start reading in verse 6. John, chapter 1, verse 6. I got to thinking about it after I sat down. I thought I might not have spoken so plainly about people that can't sing. I'm one of them. I can't sing. So you're in company with me. I don't know if that's good company. I sure shouldn't have said what I said about they always say, you pray for my voice. I had a sore throat this week. That's not the case with everybody, I suppose, but I pastored a lady for 16 years, and good lady, I guess, but I think she was what would qualify as tone deaf, and she was convinced that she could sing, and she attempted it regularly, and her and another lady would sing, and to use the word painful is an understatement. Clay is remembering it right now. He's scarred from it still. Really, sometimes I would always sit on the front pew right there, and I'd try not to. I tried not to, but sometimes I would... I would wince, and so I'm thankful for folk that can sing, and even if Brother Ernest throws a song on you've never heard before, you still, and I love that lady, God bless her, but it was hard sometimes, but anyway, thankful for folk that can sing, God bless folks that can't sing. All right, John chapter number 1. Verse number 6, the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John.
Amen.
The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Brother Ernest, lead us in a word of prayer if you would, brother.
Lord, we thank you again for the privilege to be in your house. What a privilege it is. Your portion of your word proclaimed, and I do thank you for that. Thank you for preserving your word, keeping it here down through the years. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy upon us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for things well as they are with us tonight.
And I pray
yes. In these days to be what you'd have us to be. And I do plead the blood now upon Brother Owens. He stands before us to break the bread of life. I pray you'd give him wisdom, courage, and conviction. And I pray, Lord, you'd give him clarity of thought as he stands before us to preach the word of God. I pray you'd give him that holy unction that makes preaching. I pray you'd use him in a mighty way. Thank you for the good message this morning, Lord.
Oh God.
We won't go to forget that. Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you again for the privilege to be here. Lord, to hear another portion of your word. I do pray you'd give him grace. And I give him courage, give him wisdom. Stir up the high call of God and even use it tonight as an instrument in your hand to proclaim the blessed word of God. And all that you do, we'll try to praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ernest. We read just a few short verses here, verse 6, 7, and 8 out of John's Gospel, the first chapter. And it's not even the complete text there. It deals with this man named John. And we're going to talk a little bit tonight about John. Now, something interesting, just a sidebar note for you here. If you're reading in John's Gospel and you read the name John, it'll never be John the penman of the epistle. John never refers to himself by name. That's just the level of humility that he had. He'll often refer to himself as that disciple that Jesus loved or something along those lines, but he never calls himself by name. With all probability, when you read the name John in John's Gospel, it'll usually be this person that we're reading of tonight, the one we call John the Baptist. And so that's who the Bible is speaking of here in verse number 6, 7, and 8, and then continuing on beyond there. But I'm interested tonight in the thought of a man sent from God. A man sent from God. That's what the Bible says John was. It said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I want to talk to you tonight about that concept, that thought of a man sent from God under three basic headings. I want to talk about John, how that he had a consuming work, how he had a Christ-like walk, and how that he had a convicting word. Now, this man of John, before Christ was born, after Christ was conceived and in the womb of the Virgin Mary, Mary went to see her cousin, and her cousin was with child. Elizabeth was the cousin's name, and she was the mother of this man, John the Baptist. And the Bible says of John the Baptist that he leaped inside his mother's womb when Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was with child, approached Elizabeth, his mother. And the Bible says that John the Baptist was a great man of God, that never was a man born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. That was the testimony of Christ concerning John. And John was what's called the forerunner. He was the one who would clear the way. He was the bulldozer, if you will, to clear the way for the ministry of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. The Bible said that this man was sent from God. I say that he had a consuming work. Verse number 6 said this man, it says that there was a man sent from God. That's relating to his work that he had. God had a call upon him. He had a consuming work. What I mean by that is this, is there was nothing more important to John than the ministry that God had given him. John wasn't interested in the stock market. John wasn't interested in a sideline gig. He wasn't interested in getting into politics or real estate or anything like that. John was totally consumed with the work that God had given him to do. John came on the scene, and he was unlike anything that this world had ever seen. All of the prophets that had come before were unlike John. John, some call him a prophet, he was a New Testament preacher. And John preached the gospel, and John preached repentance, and John baptized, and those leaders would come to John and ask to be baptized because it was the cool thing to do, it appears. And John said, tell you what, said, show fruit meet for repentance. He said, show that you've had a change in your life. Show that you're not just turning over a new leaf, but that you've got a new root, that you've been born again, that you're a new creature, that you're not what you used to be. And then we'll see if you're a fit candidate for baptism. He had an absolute consuming work. John baptized in Jordan. He baptized untold number of people. The Bible says that he had his clothing made of camel's hair, and that wild honey and locust was his food. John wasn't the polished town preacher, amen. John wasn't wearing gold rings on his finger. John wasn't a member of the lodge. John wasn't a member of the who's who. John didn't fit in well at town. John stayed up yonder in the mountains and stayed separated unto God and stayed in the book. But yet John was consumed with the work that God had called him to do. And every time that John could gather a crowd, John would begin to preach. And he'd tell them about this Messiah that was to come. He'd tell them about the one that was going to come and pay for the sins of the world. He'd tell them about the one whom they could find redemption in. And then there was a glad day when John was baptizing in the river Jordan, and yonder on the hilltop he looked, and there he was. It was the darling Son of God, God in the flesh, the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus in person, standing on the hilltop. And John had the high and holy privilege, ministerially speaking, to introduce this sin, sick, lost, depraved world to the Lamb of God, when he looked on yonder hilltop and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John, as a matter of fact, made that announcement on two different occasions, and that consumed John's life, this work of making this announcement. Excuse me, that the Lamb of God had come, that he was the Lamb that would take away the sin of the world. What an announcement. What a privilege to be John the Baptist and to get to make that announcement. But then again, what a Lamb, what a Savior, what a redemption. He had, again, an absolutely, Brother Boozer, you may have to finish for me, an absolutely consuming work. Why was that? Because it's a man sent from God. There was a man sent from God. Doesn't that cause you to have a deep level of admiration toward the person of John the Baptist? Doesn't that cause you to look at him with admiration and awe and say that I'd like to be that kind of a person? I'd like to be that kind of a man. I'd like to be the kind of a person like John who made a difference in people's life, who told people the truth of the gospel and told people the gospel truth. I'd like to be the kind of person where people could look back on their affiliation with me and say that God sent that person into my life. God sent that man into my life. God sent that woman into my life. They made a difference in my life. John was a man sent from God, and because of that, he had this consuming work. That ought to be our pattern, beloved. That ought to be our consuming work, to do the work of God Almighty. He had a consuming work because he was sent from God. But then he had a Christ-like walk. Look in the next verse. The same. When it says the same, it's speaking of this person, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now, what's that light that he's talking about? Well, it's speaking of Christ there. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John the Baptist had a consuming work, but he had a Christ-like walk. John didn't rub shoulders with the wicked crowd. Now, let me clarify what I'm saying. He, like Christ, would have been a friend to sinners, but he didn't take part in their sinful living. He didn't take part in their sinful lifestyle. John was separated in that regard. John didn't partake of the sinful living of that day. He had a Christ-like walk. Now, if we have a desire, if I or you have a desire for it to be said of us, there was a man sent from God. You ladies, it's perfectly all right for you to have a desire for women in your circle, people that you're around, to be able to look one day and say there was a woman sent from God. I'm not talking about you being a preacher. I'm talking about people being able to say of you, there was a woman sent from God. There was a woman down yonder in Amory, Mississippi, that used to do my hair, and she had an influence on me. She had a Christian testimony. She had an impact on me. It's perfectly all right for a woman to have that desire, for that to be said of her, that there was a woman sent from God. We men, that ought to be the desire of our heart, for it to be said there was a man sent from God. And if that's going to be true of you, it's going to have to be true that you have a Christ-like walk. You can't be Christian on Sunday only, Christian on Wednesday night only. It's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week endeavor. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. Nobody has attained to that. But I'm talking about having a desire for sinless perfection. I'm talking about getting up every day and making a concerted effort to live your life in such a way that it would honor and please God Almighty, and that those round about you would look upon you and say, she is different. He is different. They are not like the others that have come before them, naming the name of Christ. There's something genuine about them. There's something real about them. This world appreciates the real. Do you understand that tonight? This world recognizes hypocrisy. It recognizes fakeness. It recognizes shallowness. And sad to say, Christianity is inundated with all of the above. But when this world meets the genuine article, they might not all be converted. They might not all take to your way of believing, but they will readily admit this one is different. This one is unlike the others. And the only way that'll ever be said of us is if we have a Christ-like walk. We cannot be like the world and win the world. I'll never forget 26, 7, 8 years ago, however long it was now, when I was ordained to the gospel ministry. My pastor, who you met here during Bible conference, ordained me. I said Bible conference, I meant mission conference. But you met Brother Merritt, he ordained me. I'll never forget one of the things that he told me during his charge that he preached to me at my ordination service. he said, Brother Ronnie, you be sure wherever God leads you in the pastorate. At that time, I was headed to pastor a little mission work in Chalmette, Louisiana, right outside of New Orleans. And he said, you'll be there, and who knows where else God will lead you through the years. But wherever you go, and however long you stay, be sure that when you're gone from that place, that years on down the road, that even the young people that were there will be able to talk about one day yonder back when God sent a man of God through here. There was a day that a man came through here, and he was sent from God, and he was different from the others, and he was unlike them in that he was the genuine article, and he was authentic, and he was real, and he loved us, and he cared for us, and he gave us the truth. He said, that's what you want to be known for. You don't want to be known to be the funniest preacher or the most intellectual preacher. You don't have to be any of that. But it must be, young preacher, it must be that it is always said of you after your departure, there was a man sent from God. And that ought to be what's said of each and every one of us. It ought to be that the people down at your workplace, they ought to say, he is of God. She is of God. They are different. They have a Christ-like walk about them. They don't get into all of the foolishness that we get into. They don't talk like we talk. They don't behave as we behave. They don't tell the dirty jokes. They don't laugh at the dirty jokes. They are different. John was a man with a consuming work, with a Christ-like walk, but then he was a man with a convicting word. If you are going to be a man sent from God, you'll have to be a man with a convicting word. Too many these days are men with pleasing words. In the pastoral epistles, we find caution. That in the last days they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It says that in the last days that men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. It says that in the last days that they'll turn their ears away from the truth. They'll hear the truth. They'll shun the truth. And they'll heap to themselves. They'll pile up to themselves. They'll cleave unto themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they will not want a convicting word. They will want a consoling word. They will want a so-called man of God to come in and tell them that everything's all right, that they can continue on the trail that they're on, that they can live like they're living, and that everything is going to be all right, and that when they die, heaven's still going to be their home. But I'll tell you, every God-called, God-sent man has had a convicting word. He has loved his congregation. He has prayed for his hearers, but he's had a convicting word, and he's preached against sin, and he's preached against wickedness, and he's preached against the ways of this world. He had a convicting word. As a matter of fact, his word, his convicting word that he preached is what cost him his very life. John, being unwilling to compromise with the political powers that be, he looked Herod in the face and pointed his bony finger and said, it's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. He was sleeping with his brother's wife, living with morals akin to that of dogs. And he thought just because he occupied a place of political prominence that a man of God was supposed to bow his head and tiptoe around him and not call a spade a spade. But old John was a man sent from God. And John didn't fear Herod. He didn't fear the devil. And John squared his shoulders and stuck his chin out, and with love and compassion, but a backbone like a saw log, said, hey, look up in here, son. This ain't right. This is sin. It's sin before God Almighty. And if you don't repent and get right with God, hell's going to be your home when you die. You're headed to hell like a marten to its gourd. And you don't have the spiritual wherewithal to know it. You got to get right with God. He said you got to repent of your sin, or hell's going to be your home when you die. That's a man that loves people that'll tell them that. This world doesn't want that anymore. They don't want to hear that anymore. They want to hear about how everything's all right, and your truth might not be my truth, and that all roads lead to heaven. But unto God today, we need a man that's sent from God who'll tell somebody the truth. You need a man that knows the truth. You need a man that cares enough to tell the truth. And God help, we need some folk nowadays that when they tell the truth, they won't get up in the next service and apologize for telling the truth. John was a man sent from God. I pastored yonder in Campbell community up in the hills for 16 years. And I made a lot of mistakes. I'd done some dumb things. I seen some people saved. I seen some people come. I probably ran some good people off. I've done a lot of things. But I pray to God that this very night, that if you asked an honest person in the Campbell community, tell us about Ronnie Owen. I pray to God they'd say he is a man sent from God who came here and preached to us and loved us and cared for us. But he was unbending. He would not sway. He would not give. He would not acquiesce to the powers that be. And when he left here, he was preaching the same thing that he was preaching when he came here. I believe that that can be truthfully said of the time that I spent there. And I'll tell you this. I've never believed that a man should go somewhere with a 1 year, 5 year, 15 year plan. I don't have one now. Every time I've ever went to a church, I went there willing to die there. And that's the intent tonight here. But if it would be that God at some point in the future were to send me away from this place, I want it to be when I leave here. I know you're not going to say I had the best hair of any of you pastors. Brother Jacob's got that reward coming. But I hope and pray, and I intend to live my life in such a way before this church, before this community. I intend to man this pulpit in such a way and pastor this church in such a way that if I'm here 5 years, 15 years, or 55 years, when I moved on or dead and gone, pray to God I live to be another 40, 50 years old, and you move the communion table out and you spread a supersized coffin out there and lay a 300-pound preacher in front of this pulpit. And Miss Kelby, I hope you and your sister and your children and your grandchildren and anybody else that's here tonight that's still alive can walk by that coffin and point at that corpse and say, that was a man who was sent from God. And he pastored this church and he loved these people, but he would not bend and he would not compromise and he loved us enough to tell us the truth. That's how it ought to be. If a man sent from God, that's how he will be. That's exactly how he will be. Don't you want to be known as a person sent from God in the lives of the people that you're around? Hey, you can be that. You can be that. I'm talking about if you'll sell out, get dedicated and wholly consecrated to the cause of Christ. There's absolutely no reason that them people down there working with Brother Boozer at the county can't say, I'll tell you something different about old Brother Boozer. He's different. He's sent from God. Same way down yonder to Trucking Outfit and the beauty shop, wherever you may be. I'm talking about Miss Ann when she's down there selling sourdough bread. The farmer's market. Them folk ought to know that she's not like the rest of them folk down there. I'm talking about we ought to have enough Jesus in us and on us that we stand apart. Them little old youngins down there at the schoolhouse, they ought to say, Miss Bess, different. She ain't like them other teachers. Amen. I want to be known as a man sent from God. I don't have to be known as an intellectual elite. I don't have to be financially savvy. I don't have to be anything else. And I know it'd be easy for you to say, well, surely a preacher should feel that way. You're right, he should. But every born-again believer, I'm convinced, should have a desire in their heart to impact somebody in this walk of life to where they can walk past your coffin and say, that was a man sent from God. That was a woman sent from God into my life. You know why most of us don't bear much fruit? Because we underestimate what God could do with us. You say, I ain't much. Well, you're on to something there. If you'll study it a little bit longer, you'll find out that it's worse than you thought. You're actually nothing. I'm nothing. But I tell you something, God can take nothing and do something. God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line with it. And if you'll give yourself to God, if you'll give yourself to God, He can use you. You can have influence. You can make an impact. You can make a difference. And somebody will look back at you one of these days and say, that was a person sent from God into my life. Do you want it? Do you want it bad enough? All you've got to do is say, here am I. Use me. God, use me. God will use you. I'm going to tell you what God uses. He uses what's handy. He uses what's handy. I don't want to get off on telling stories here. I love barbecue. I love cooking barbecue. I love studying barbecue. I love studying barbecue history. You could travel across the United States, you'll find some places they use mesquite, other places they use hickory, other places they use post oak. And they'll argue about what's the best, but you know what the truth is, Brother Ernest? They use what's available to them. If post oak's what you got in your area, that's what you'll use to cook with. If it's hickory, you'll use that. If it's mesquite, you'll use that. What am I saying? I'm not saying that God's a barbecue pit master, but I'm telling you this. God uses the folks that make yourself available. God's not nearly as interested in your ability as He is your availability. God, John was a man available to God, and he is a man used of God. You'd be surprised what God do with you and through you if you'd wake up every day and pray to God Almighty and say, God, clean me up today. God, sanctify me. God, help me to live clean and pure, a fit vessel for your service. And God, put somebody in my pathway today that I can make a difference in their life. My friend, Brother Curtis Gibson, who some of you know, every time he had moved, starting a new church there in South Louisiana, he'd pray and say, God, give me the meanest, rankest citizen you have down here for a next door neighbor. That's who I want for a next door neighbor. You know why he did? Because Brother Curtis knew if he could win that fella, he'd have a lot easier time winning the rest of them. We need to have that kind of attitude. It don't matter how rough and how rank they are. God, give me somebody that I can make a difference in their life. And God will do that. I hope it can be said of me everywhere I've been before that there was a man sent from God. I intend for that to be the case here. Don't you want it to be the case with you? It can be the case with you. Let's all stand. If you would, let's bow our head and pray. Brother Ernest and Sister Williston, y'all come ready. It's a hymn of invitation. John, a man sent from God. God used him. God blessed his ministry. God got the gospel message out with him. God can do the same with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for allowing us to be here. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for the truth that John was a man sent from God. Oh God, help that to be the desire of our heart. Lord, help us not to be enamored by the glitz and the glamour of this world and be taken in by the shallow, pitiful concerns and cares of this world. Help us, Lord, to understand that this life is short, oh so short, and that we don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. We want to influence and impact some people's lives. God, help it be the desire of our heart that it might be said of us that we was a person sent from God into the lives of some people to make a difference, to show them the truth of the gospel. Lord, to show them that real Christianity is not what they've been seeing, not what's been called Christianity, but there is the genuine article. There is real Christianity. There are some people who are truly born again, who are sold out to the cause of Christ, who are brand new creatures in Christ Jesus, and can bear witness of it to them. God, help that to be the case with us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.